Your conference is being recorded.
Hi, everybody. Thank you for joining the December NISO Open teleconference. Today we will be discussing FASN, this is a relatively new working group that is underway at NISO. With us on the call today, we have Christopher Carvey, who is Director of Interactive Customer Experience at Queen's Library. And I am Nettie Lagasse. I'm the Associate Director for Programs here at NISO. Todd Carpenter, the NISO Executive Director, is often on these calls, but today he is at a conference, so he's not available. I wonder if Josh Weisman of Ex Libris is also on the call, any chance?
Hi, Nettie. I'm here.
Oh, there you are. Great. So Josh Weisman, who is Development Director at Ex Libris, is another co-chair of the group, and he's also here. Thanks, Josh, for joining us. I know it's late in your day, so I'm happy that I'll be able to talk to both you and Chris about this project. So our format for these calls is pretty informal. It's really just meant to be a conversation with representatives of the working group, and for the participants on the call, you're really welcome to ask any questions at any time if you want to. Just pipe up, or I'll save space for questions at the end. So if you'd rather hang on to your question till the end, that's fine too. At the very end of the call, I will shut off the recording for the topic and thank everyone. And I'm going to stay on the line for a little while after the end of the topic call in case anyone's got any questions about NISO. This is another opportunity to ask those. So thanks again, Josh and Chris, for joining us today. And I guess we'll start with the obvious question. What does FASN stand for?
It's an interesting acronym, but from what I understand, it stands for Flexible API Standard Technical, and then it gets a little weird after that, but interoperability ebooks, RESTful APIs.
We set it up for a flexible API standard for e-content in ISO. If we were trying to word, we had a word and needed to fit things into it, so... yeah. That's how it came together. We like acronyms, don't we?
Yeah.
So it's APIs and it's e-content and it's standards. Can you talk about the general problem that exists today that the project would help with?
Yeah. So let me backtrack for a second. So back in 2013, when I got hired at Queen's Library, they had an initiative where they were being given some tablets as a gift from Google and the state of New York. There was a discussion about what we would actually do with these tablets. Would we just loan them out as is? And would we want to do something special with them? So we opted for the tablets to be an extension of the library services rather than giving them out with standard Android OS on them. Having said that, we sort of had to create this experience and create our own discovery interface for the tablet and figure out mobile device management and all these different things. Fast forward to development, we had these ongoing discussions with people like Baker & Taylor and Overdrive and Recorded Books and our own ILS vendor to see if we can manipulate our custom OPAC, which we do in Google right now, into some flavor of an experience for the tablets. This led us through a series of hoops that we had to jump through and some sort of re-engineering to sort of smooth the user experience for our user to not have the typical web experience, but to more customize it for a scenario where we had hardware control and, or at least somewhat hardware control and software control combined. And in our experience with that, we had some very strange conversations with vendors who were like, well, why do you need that much control, or why do you want to do this, or we're not ready to give you that yet, or those kind of things. And then those conversations sort of matured into a place where people saw a benefit to adding certain things to their technology roadmap in terms of customizing APIs, or at least exposing APIs to us so we can do certain things in our discovery layer. And then fast forward to the draft that we started to talk to NYSO about, it was a combination of many, many things we learned in doing that effort and also trying to create our own mobile app, which we launched in February 2014. And by the time we reached NYSO, we had a mock draft of what we thought libraries could use, at least public libraries could use, in terms of a list of outlined web services.
Mm-hmm.
And then a skeleton of a list of what I'm calling mobile extensions or app intents, meaning...
Could you give a few examples for these?
Sure. So, for example, if we wanted to do a search that we saw in a web portal on Baker & Taylor's site, for example, and it was only available on that portal, we would want that same search through our discovery layer. So...
Mm-hmm.
If you saw bestsellers in the portal, we would want to be able to query bestsellers through our discovery layer on the tablet and in our mobile application.
Mm-hmm.
And in some ways, those type of things weren't available. And we had to sort of negotiate that those things would be prudent to have for a library our size who wanted to do customized interfaces. On that same note, bringing in the mobile discussion, we would want to do stuff like get down to the material detail page or the node and be able to launch the media from that page. And instead of launching the application and having the user log back in or whatever and then have them search again, basically short-circuiting the whole flow that the user just went through,
right.
We wanted the ability for our discovery layer to launch the application, seamlessly log in if the person wasn't already authenticated, and then take them straight to the media so they can just hit play or read or download, which is pretty much, you know, a extreme step from something like 27 or 19 steps that users normally have to go through down to 5. Now,
okay.
in an experience like a Simply E, for example, where they have a more extreme control over a lot of the technology, and they limit they have control of the app experience and the consuming of the media, they've got it down to 3. But our approach is more what we thought democratic, allowing the vendors to have a say in implementing their own consuming piece.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
So when you mentioned the draft, how does what Queens Library did translate to the NYSO work that is underway right now?
Basically, what we did was we did a call to people who were interested in sort of solving the solution in this space. And basically what it is being able to give libraries a leg up in innovation. And I have a presentation online that I think, Nettie, you have a link to.
Yeah.
Which I talk about what libraries are basically faced with today in terms of trying to compete for relevancy.
Yeah.
And what I say to that is we're competing for mind share in terms of Netflix and Amazon and Apple Music or what have you in the minds of every general consumer. And when you start to think about something as simple as people being able to share a document across Google Drive, people are accustomed to getting information in a certain way. And then when they get to libraries, they're being limited in the scope of how they can interact with media and data and it's very confining, and we can't compete against those solutions in an easy way if we don't have a way to start to push innovation in terms of the user experience for our tools.
Mm-hmm.
And in that presentation that I alluded to, it was LIDA Forum 2016, where I talk about some of the challenges that we face as libraries, and like common terminology from vendor to vendor, being able to request data in very small consumable bytes, so that we can do little server in widgets so users can get information easier and be able to have more informative searches that help them possibly, libraries possibly do things like suggest items or to have suggestion engines or to have recommendation engines and do things like innovative, like, did you mean this thing or so on and so forth. So when you start to open up the world of information to web services, there's a lot more possibilities
right.
that are available to the library.
By the way, I linked Chris's referring to the LIDA 2016 presentation. I've linked it on the NISO website. So if you go to NISO.org, which, by the way, is a new website that we launched on Thursday afternoon, and then go to events, which is at the top of the page, and click on upcoming events, this open teleconference is the first item. And if you click on that, you'll see a link to Chris's slideshare presentation at that point.
Mm-hmm. So jump in here and say, in regards to that, there are some like branding and perception issues and other challenges that libraries are dealing with, not just technical, and that presentation sort of touches on all of them.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So, what was the, I guess, you know, wanting to move forward in the NISO work, what will the project outcome be from the working group that's underway now?
Thanks for bringing that back. So in wanting to work with NISO, we were cognizant that we were only in one space in terms of our first draft. We wanted to have input from private industry. We wanted input from consortia, from academic libraries. We wanted to basically have the draft be more beneficial to a larger group and a larger audience. And FASN is unique in that, and Eddie, correct me if I'm wrong, in that there are very few instances in NISO working groups where you had something to start off with, and it wasn't
mm-hmm.
a situation where you're like, what kind of tree would this be if it was a tree? You know what I mean? It wasn't conceptual, yeah. It was practical on some levels, even though there are some abstract conversations that we have on our calls.
So it will be practical material. That's what will the output
yeah.
what's the output
yeah.
intended to be when the project is finished?
Yeah. So the output would be we'll have an outline of APIs that touch on more than public libraries. Hopefully it'll touch on academic libraries and touch on
uh-huh.
social situations. And then we'll also have a list of suggested best practices, and we'll also have hopefully some prototype code that also utilizes all of those things. And
someone could use as a sample.
As a sample and an example. Understandable prototype. Yeah.
Right. So the working group is actually pretty large, and I know we worked hard to try to get a lot of different voices on. Can you describe, in general terms, the kinds of parties that are on the working group?
Yes. So we have representatives from the academic world. We have folks that represent consortia. We have people in different time zones. We also have,
for sure.
We also have people who are library industry developers, Ex Libris being one of them. We also have a Baker & Taylor member. We have somebody from EBSCO. So it's very diverse, and I'm pretty happy about that.
Yeah, that's a lot of it's a lot of good voices. So I want to move to just the process. So the group started, I think, just about a year ago was our very first meeting. We had one meeting before Christmas, and I know that the idea is that we'd have a publication by ALA annual in June 2018. We'll see how that's going, because I think the group has been discussing a lot of things and examining the API material that Queen's Library put out, has worked on analysis of all of the various issues and created use cases and pain point descriptions. Can you say a little bit about talking about process can be really boring, so I don't really want to talk about process too much, but is it possible for you to describe how the things the group has discussed so far have affected where it's going? So maybe the different breakout groups or the kinds of observations that people have come up with so far as we start moving into the next phase. That's maybe a pretty vague question. Can you do something with that?
Yeah. So,
sorry.
So just to give everybody an idea on the phone or how we went about this. So we started off early on trying to take a look at the Queen's Library draft, and I was very mindful early on that we were coming at it from a certain perspective, and especially that we are weak on scenarios where consortia was involved and possibly parent-child relationships or larger system that needed tenant situations where one party was governing certain rules and then maybe a local library was governing another set of rules within that context. So I was concerned about scenarios like that. I wanted to basically get some feedback from some of the industry folks that were in the group. So the first step that we took was to say, hey, this is the Queen's Library draft. This is what we developed based on our own experience building our tablet interface and our mobile application. But what do you guys think? And where are the blind spots? So we did a series of iterations where we went through the draft and the mobile intents and said, hey, are these all the use cases we want to discuss? And are all these use cases in scope to what we want to say in the end product? During that process, we came up with what we said we thought were industry pain points or user pain points in terms of somebody going through a discovery tool that a library would offer their patron as a tool to uncover media. And in that process, we came up with a series of deliverables that either caused more questions or more discussion. And then we took that and categorized it into buckets. And we said, this is probably going to be a best practice. This is probably going to go speak directly to objects that are inside of an API. These are actions that we want to have accounted for in the discovery layer that we would build if we were going to build a prototype. And then we broke up into groups, and we asked for volunteers to lead those groups.
Okay.
Those groups ended up being library search and discovery, library business, UX interactions, and best practices.
Right.
And basically, the first three fed into the bottom one, or the last one. And that's sort of where we are now.
Right.
And what we did was we didn't limit that first group or those first three groups into what the deliverable would be. We just sort of defined the scope based on themes and what got outputted from the previous discussion, if that makes any sense. So, for example, The UX group was going to handle business use cases specific to discovery. And then library business would sort of handle stuff like what an administrator would want to see in an administration situation.
Uh-huh.
And so on and so forth.
Good. So yeah. I think the group now, and it's kind of a timely thing, I guess, coming to the end of the year, where we all take our holiday break, sort of trying to figure out where we've got, how much information we've got now and how we might use it
yes.
going forward to create the best practices.
Right.
Yeah.
So,
sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, Josh, is anything we're missing, Josh, that you think we should be adding to the description?
Can you hear me? Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, can hear you. Great.
Yeah.
Okay, great. No, I think, you know, Chris did a great job, as usual, of describing what we're doing. I'd also just like to add that I think, you know, the groups are, the subgroups are contributing nicely. And without getting too much into process, I think, you know, we're at a good point in our development and really coming around to take all the work that we've done so far and mold it into what will wind up being our recommendation.
Yeah.
So it's, for me, at least, it's an exciting time in the project.
Hey, Josh, can you touch on a little bit about how we're trying to be mindful of not staring at our own navel a lot and looking at what other groups are doing as well?
Sure. I mean, I think that, you know, first of all, this call is helpful, and we're trying to reach out to other groups within the ISO community, but also the work that we've done to identify other standards in the area, not to reinvent the wheel wherever possible, to rely on existing standards, and really focus on trying to come up with something which is able to be implemented and adopted. And that means, you know, coming up with the right balance between, you know, prescription and recommendation, and again, not trying to come up with new, quote-unquote, inventive ideas where standards might already exist. So kind of taking a point of view of looking out in the world, seeing what's out there, and being mindful of the groups that will have to wind up implementing this when it becomes adopted.
Yep. That's important things to consider as we go forward. So I wonder if anyone on the call have any questions that you want to ask of either Chris or Josh or about the project in general. I think on this call we often have a lot of listeners, and that's fine. It's just an opportunity for the working group people to talk about what's going on. But if you've got anything that you're wondering that we haven't mentioned in specifics, or you'd like to be sure that we cover, I'd be happy to take that in.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. Anything else you want to describe, Chris or Josh? It's sort of midway through the project, so it's I think there's enough to report on, but still too early to make final pronouncements.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll touch on a few more things.
Sure,
go
ahead.
I'm also trying to, you know, when we have the big group discussions, to make sure that we're making direct connections back to the original draft. And to also make sure we're leveraging previous discussions, because we've had some really great discussions. And then make sure that if we do have those discussions, that we're addressing any blind spots that come up, and to speak to any challenges, and make sure that people's voices are being heard, and they're contributing from their level of experience or their voice. So to speak, and then to sort of have people feel like they're contributing to the whole group, and to see and to ask them on a regular basis what they think success looks like, because I think that's important, because that helps them feel like they're participating.
Yep.
From that perspective too, Josh alluded to this. We sort of have to figure out, you know, on a recursive level, what we feel is in scope and what we want to speak to in our final documentation, or what might be fodder for evangelism or speaking out about what we ultimately come up with. And there may be some distinctions there that we want to make as we move on. But overall, I think we're doing pretty well.
Yeah, it's not an easy area of work, I think. And I think there's often expectations that might be practical or not practical. And that part, that stuff comes out in discussion, I think, and is part of the process of the group getting, you know, creating its own way of working.
Yep.
So, great. Anything else from you guys? Any questions from the audience, or any other things you'd like to know about this work? The idea from the work plan that the group has created as part of its schedule is that we'd be drafting the recommended practice and the base set of APIs in December and January. And I think we're probably just a little bit behind that. We'd probably start the drafting in January. At this point, I guess we'd still hope that we'd have the publication out by ALA, but we'll see how the drafting goes. That's always the hardest part in any NISO project is getting that going and putting everything in, making sure you've got everything in there, and then putting it through a public comment process. So look for more information about this group's work coming out from us in the coming months. Very happy to receive any questions offline. You can forward them to the group or deal with them. And I'm going to stay on the line for a little while, but I wanted to really say thank you to Josh and to Chris for joining us for this call. Taking time out from your day to talk about your NISO work, I think, is an important way to make sure that the NISO community is involved and engaged in the kinds of things we're doing. And I hope everyone has very happy holidays. And we'll be organizing new calls for the beginning of 2018. We'll be switching our conferencing system at that time, so we'll have new things for a new year. So thanks, Chris and Josh, and I'm going to shut off the recording and stay on the call. But if anyone else wants to move on with your day, feel free. Thank you.